This is the reading for May 14th. Psalm 134. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, you who serve at night in the temple of the Lord. Raise your hands in the temple and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Mount Zion, he who made heaven and earth. 1 Samuel chapter 29. The Philistines gathered all their soldiers at Aphek. Israel camped by the spring at Jezreel. The Philistine kings were marching with their groups of 100 and 1,000 men. David and his men were marching behind Achish. The Philistine commanders asked, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" Achish told them, "This is David. He served Saul, king of Israel, but he has been with me for over a year now. I have found nothing wrong in David since the time he left Saul." But the Philistine commanders were angry with Achish and said, "Send David back to the city you gave him. He cannot go with us into battle. If he does, we'll have an enemy in our own camp. He could please his king by killing our own men. David is one of the Israelites dance and sing about, saying, 'Saul has killed thousands of his enemies, but David has killed tens of thousands.'" So Achish called David and said to him, "As surely as the Lord lives, you are loyal. I would be pleased to have you serve in my army. Since the day you came to me, I have found no wrong in you. But the other kings don't trust you. Go back in peace. Don't do anything to displease the Philistine kings." David asked, "What wrong have I done? What evil have you found in me from the day I came to you until now? Why can't I go fight your enemies, my lord and king?" Achish answered, "I know you are as good as an angel from God, but the Philistine commanders have said, 'David must not go with us into battle.' Early in the morning you and your master's servants should leave. Get up as soon as it is light and go." So David and his men got up early in the morning and went back to the country of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. 1 Samuel chapter 30. On the third day, when David and his men arrived at Ziklag, he found that the Amalekites had raided southern Judah and Ziklag, attacking Ziklag and burning it. They captured the women and everyone, young and old, but they had not killed anyone. They had only taken them away. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found the town had been burned, and their wives, sons, and daughters had been taken as prisoners. Then David and his army cried loudly until they were too weak to cry anymore. David's two wives had also been taken, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel. The men in the army were threatening to kill David with stones, which greatly upset David. Each man was sad and angry because his sons and daughters had been captured. But David found strength in the Lord his God. David said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring me the holy vest." Then David asked the Lord, "Should I chase the people who took our families? Will I catch them?" The Lord answered, "Chase them, you will catch them, and you will succeed in saving your families." David and the 600 men with him came to the Besor ravine, where some of the men stayed. David and 400 men kept up the chase. The other 200 men stayed behind because they were too tired to cross the ravine. They found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. They gave the Egyptian some water to drink and some food to eat, and they gave him a piece of a fig cake and two clusters of raisins. Then he felt better because he had not eaten any food or drunk any water for 3 days and nights. David asked him, "Who is your master? Where do you come from?" He answered, "I'm an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. 3 days ago, my master left me because I was sick. We had raided the southern area of the Kerethites, the land of Judah, and the southern area of Caleb. We burned Ziklag as well." David asked him, "Can you lead me to the people who took our families?" He answered, "Yes, if you promise me before God that you won't kill me or give me back to my master, then I will take you to them." So the Egyptian led David to the Amalekites. They were lying around on the ground, eating and drinking and celebrating with the things they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. David fought them from sunset until the evening of the next day. None of them escaped except 400 young men who rode off on their camels. David got his two wives back and everything the Amalekites had taken. Nothing was missing. David brought back everyone, young and old, sons and daughters. He recovered the valuable things and everything the Amalekites had taken. David took all the sheep and cattle, and his men made these animals go in front, saying, "They are David's prize." Then David came to the 200 men who had been too tired to follow him, who had stayed at the Besor ravine. They came out to meet David and the people with him. When he came near, David greeted the men at the ravine. But the evil men and troublemakers among those who followed David said, "Since these 200 men didn't go with us, we shouldn't give them any of the things we recovered. Just let each man take his wife and children and go." David answered, "No, my brothers, don't do that after what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and given us the enemy who attacked us. Who will listen to what you say? The share will be the same for the one who stayed with the supplies as for the one who went into battle. All will share alike." David made this an order and rule for Israel, which continues even today. When David arrived in Ziklag, he sent some of the things he had taken from the Amalekites to his friends, the leaders of Judah. He said, "Here is a present for you from the things we took from the Lord's enemies." David also sent some things to the leaders in Bethel, Ramoth in the southern part of Judah, Jatir, Aroer, Siphmoth, Eshtemoah, Rakal, the cities of the Jerahmeelites and the Kenites, Hormah, Bor Ashan, Athak, Hebron, and to the people in all the other places where he and his men had been sent.
Chapter 4.
Jesus knew that the Pharisees had heard that he was making and baptizing more disciples than John. Actually, Jesus was not baptizing people, his disciples were. So he left the Judean countryside and went back to Galilee. Jesus had to go through Samaria. He arrived at a city in Samaria called Sychar. Sychar was near the piece of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus sat down by the well because he was tired from traveling. The time was about 6 o'clock in the evening. A Samaritan woman went to get some water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink of water." His disciples had gone into the city to buy some food. The Samaritan woman asked him, "How can a Jewish man like you ask a Samaritan woman like me for a drink of water?" Jews, of course, don't associate with Samaritans. Jesus replied to her, "If you only knew what God's gift is and who is asking you for a drink, you would have asked him for a drink. He would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you don't have anything to use to get water, and the well is deep. So where are you going to get this living water? You're not more important than our ancestor Jacob, are you? He gave us this well. He and his sons and his animals drank water from it." Jesus answered her, "Everyone who drinks this water will become thirsty again, but those who drink the water that I will give them will never become thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give them will become in them a spring that gushes up to eternal life." The woman told Jesus, "Sir, give me this water, then I won't get thirsty or have to come here to get water." Jesus told her, "Go to your husband and bring him here." The woman replied, "I don't have a husband." Jesus told her, "You're right when you say that you don't have a husband. You've had 5 husbands, and the man you have now isn't your husband. You've told the truth." The woman said to Jesus, "I see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that people must worship in Jerusalem." Jesus told her, "Believe me, a time is coming when you Samaritans won't be worshiping the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You don't know what you're worshiping. We Jews know what we're worshiping because salvation comes from the Jews. Indeed, the time is coming, and it is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for people like that to worship him. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will tell us everything. Messiah is the one called Christ." Jesus told her, "I am he, and I am speaking to you now." At that time, the disciples returned. They were surprised that he was talking to a woman, but none of them asked him, "What do you want from her?" or "Why are you talking to her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back into the city. She told the people, "Come with me and meet a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could he be the Messiah?" The people left the city and went to meet Jesus. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, have something to eat." Jesus told them, "I have food to eat that you don't know about." The disciples asked each other, "Did someone bring him something to eat?" Jesus told them, "My food is to do what the one who sent me wants me to do and to finish the work he has given me. Don't you say in 4 months the harvest will be here? I'm telling you to look and see that the fields are ready to be harvested. The person who harvests the crop is already getting paid. He is gathering grain for eternal life. So the person who plants the grain and the person who harvests it are happy together. In this respect, the saying is true. One person plants and another person harvests. I have sent you to harvest a crop that you haven't worked for. Other people have done the hard work, and you have followed them in their work. Many Samaritans in that city believed in Jesus because of the woman who said, He told me everything I've ever done. So when the Samaritans went to Jesus, they asked Him to stay with them. He stayed in Samaria for 2 days. Many more Samaritans believed because of what Jesus said. They told the woman, Our faith is no longer based on what you've said. We have heard Him ourselves, and we know that He really is the Savior of the world. After spending 2 days in Samaria, Jesus left for Galilee. Jesus had said that a prophet is not honored in his own country. But when Jesus arrived in Galilee, the people of Galilee welcomed Him. They had seen everything He had done at the festival in Jerusalem since they too had attended the festival. Jesus returned to the city of Cana in Galilee where He had changed water into wine. A government official was in Cana. His son was sick in Capernaum. The official heard that Jesus had returned from Judea to Galilee. So he went to Jesus and asked Him to go to Capernaum with him to heal his son who was about to die. Jesus told the official, If people don't see miracles and amazing things, they won't believe. The official said to Him, Sir, come with me before my little boy dies. Jesus told him, Go home, your son will live. The man believed what Jesus told him and left. While the official was on his way to Capernaum, his servants met him and told him that his boy was alive. The official asked them at what time his son got better. His servants told him, The fever left him yesterday evening at 7 o'clock. Then the boy's father realized that it was the same time that Jesus had told him, Your son will live. So the official and his entire family became believers. This was the second miracle that Jesus performed after He had come back from Judea to Galilee.